Welcome back to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you. Welcome to another podcast. We have a gentleman. Thank you for staying up late in the night or early in the morning, whatever you want to call it. Mr. Alex Guberman, E for Electric. You know, I haven't met you in person, but I went to your feed and you have this way about you, this kind of passion about EV and just kind of, you're very transparent about it and you're kind of diving into it head first. But where are you calling from right now? Because I think that kind of plays into your role in the EV space. Where are you calling from?
I live in Bangkok, Thailand. I moved here last year. Before that, I lived in America for 30 years, really, mainly in California, but a little bit of Las Vegas and Houston.
And I say that because I feel your videos are very international, has an international feel with it, with the main focus kind of on American EV culture, but you're really diving into all the, you know, you're ravenous about Tesla. Obviously you put the numbers out there of what's going on, but your passion, like it says, is into kind of really exposing it in what I like to call more of a digestible way, making it really transparent. You know, I'm just going to say it, you kind of have a broken English accent, which just adds to your kind of international fare, but it's you, man. And just looking at some of the cars that you're breaking down and, you know, kind of saying, hey, Honda, what are you doing here? Hey, Nissan, like you watch these videos and you're like, what's Nissan doing? Is this like a fun design exercise? You throw a little bit of shade, Alex, I'm going to be honest, but in a good constructive way. Am I correct?
Yes. Well, actually, my channel used to be called Everything Tesla because it started, you know, 7 years ago. I was a huge Tesla fan. I had it. I was one of the first people to get a Tesla. I think my number was 2881. Before anybody thought it was cool, before anybody even knew what it was, I was all in, right? I was a huge Elon Musk fan. So my channel was dedicated to that. And then as other EVs started to emerge, I basically started doing electric car news. And it wasn't until, you know, it was a time when everybody was unveiling prototypes and everything was great. We're going to do this great stuff, you know, and it was exciting. It was exciting. There was a lot of news. But once they started doing that, right, and it's in Tesla, I realized that, you know, there are a lot of problems and there are a lot of things that they didn't really tell us. And, you know, there were a lot of people who kind of stuck as Tesla fanboys and a lot of people stuck as sort of like, yes, Tesla. And I kind of switched to customer. You know, I'm on the side of a customer, whether they're Tesla owner or any other electric car owner, even a gas car owner. And that's where, you know, I kind of started, splitting from the, you know, this happy majority that kind of kept going, Elon Musk, Elon Musk. And, I love that role. I get a lot of crap, you know, obviously, especially from the Tesla community, but I think somebody has to do it. And now there's more to talk about than ever before, I think.
EV power to the people. I like that stance. And that is your journey, and you're exposing your journey, your relationship with Tesla. And I like what you said there. Power to the customers. So I guess, what comes to my mind at first is, do you think the EV vehicles and some of them are going to market sooner than they should? Is it a little premature as far as the development of the vehicles, or what's the weakest point for you? Because I always want to start out kind of glasses half full, but right now we're just going right into it. Kind of what's the downside of it right now?
You mean the downside of, car making?
Yeah. Well, both manufacturers and just being a customer of an EV vehicle, not exclusive to Tesla. We're talking, you know, all the Chinese companies that are coming up, the Korean companies, you know, VinFast. I mean, there's so many amazing, you know, vehicles out there.
Yeah. So, and then of course, and you know, I was unfortunately in a butt end of a lot of these is, you know, whenever you're going with something new, you're a guinea pig. And, you know, I bought one of the first Teslas. I bought one of the first Volkswagens that were electric. And, you know, they came with problems. And people like me, I guess, didn't mind at first saying, look, I know. It's just like when you get a first iPhone or whatever and there are bugs. And but the majority of people don't really care. As a matter of fact, majority of the people don't even care that these cars are electric. You know, they just want a better product. Because let's face it, gas cars have been the same pretty much for the last 20 or 30 years. It's boring. It's not very exciting. And especially they hit the wall. There's only so many things that they can do. There's only so many technologies you can implement there without hitting the wall. And they have. So the electric cars are giving all of these new possibilities to the customers that gas cars could not offer before. But there are a lot of problems. I mean, just a lot of problems. Obviously, these are software heavy products now. These are essentially iPads on wheels, smart devices on wheels. And, you know, there's a new set of problems. You know, what do we do with self-driving software? What do we do with AI? What do we do with, you know, cars are going to be flying pretty soon. You know, I just saw one at the CES and in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and it's like a flying car that's going in production next year. Like, you know, but we're having, obviously there's a lot of issues, and I don't think a lot of consumers really want to participate in this experiment just yet.
And you were, as you described, you were an early adopter. So, you know, here I am, I don't own an EV, but that it's like I say, that vehicle or that iPad on wheels or whatever it may be, it's a solution. And that's what you say. Like, you know, you talk about Tesla being cool. Well, now it's just, it is a vehicle, literally and figuratively, for what your necessities are, right? Again, talking about VinFast, that tiny little thing that was at CES, right? And that, I mean, tiny little car, I think that fits a solution. Or you go with like a truck, right? Or, you know, yesterday in LA, I saw a Cybertruck in the wild, and I hadn't seen one in person, just videos, and it's a massive vehicle. I mean, it takes up so much room. So, you know, what are you most excited about? Because like I said, kind of 1-2 punch here. It's like, all right, you're not a guinea pig anymore. We know enough to be dangerous. You're educating and taking people on your journey and your perspective. What are you most excited about, Alex? E for electric.
Well, here's the thing. The excitement has passed, right? The excitement was 5, 6, 7 years ago when the future was very bright. But the future now is here, and it's complicated. You know, there are some things that I cannot necessarily be excited about. For example, I'm in Bangkok. I live in Bangkok. I think this is the best place on earth to live for people like me, for example. But right now, I cannot even play soccer outside or go and stroll in the park because the pollution is really that bad. I mean, I have a AQI detector, the air quality detector that I bring with me all the time. So would I like this to go away? Yes, that's a great solution because this is a real thing, right? We have, 30 million people here? But am I excited about it? Am I excited about not getting lung cancer? That's hard to say that I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Am I excited about self-driving technology that's coming up with electric cars? Yes, of course. This is going to be a major step, and it is coming, but it's just not here yet. There's just quite a few years still, you know, to go. Now, here I have a self-driving car. It's called an Uber. Here we call it, actually, it's a Grab. You know, I go wherever I want to go and I don't have to touch the wheel. But it is coming, but we know, we got excited about it 5 years ago. And now that it hasn't been delivered, we're just sitting here waiting. So I wouldn't say I'm excited anymore, but I am anxious to see things actually coming to reality. And once they are here, then the excitement might come back.
And that you talk about pollution, I think that's a great topic that we'll spin off into, because, you know, the conundrum here is, you know, here's ICE and you buy an EV because, like you said, is it cool? Is it fashionable or is it functional? Meaning that, you know, you don't want to pay for gas. You'd rather pay for electricity. There's dirty electricity. There's clean electricity, right? And then it gets into saving the environment. We only have one planet, right? So we only have one Earth. Is ICE and EV, what does that look like as far as the environment? Because a lot of people will scrutinize and say, here's, you know, we're mining this, we're getting these batteries, we're doing that. You know, what's your take on that?
My take is that people don't give a shit about the environment. I mean, let's be real, yeah, here. I mean, over and over and over again, like, people who are buying Teslas right now are not buying it because they want to save the Arctic ice, right? They're buying it because it's cool, because it's Elon Musk, and, you know, because it does have, you know, some really amazing features, just like, you know, other electric cars. It's fast, it's quiet, it's slick, you know. But, you know, these are not the people who care about, you know, polar bears. As a matter of fact, as a first adopter, I know I bought my first electric car in 2012, you know, it was the Model S from Tesla. And that wasn't even my goal. And I do care about environment, but very little. What I actually wanted to accomplish was that I knew that if we stop being dependent on foreign oil, right, we wouldn't, then the all kinds of people on our side or other people on their side would not be dying. And I thought that would be a good cause, you know, let's get off oil. And then we're, you know, we're not dependent on them. They're not dependent on us, you know, less people dying. I thought that was actually a good cause, way above the environment. But, you know, now that we've kind of, you know, we've observed what's been happening in the last 10 years, people don't even care about that. You know, apparently we can start wars over other things and not just oil. So that's kind of gone away. But yes, we definitely, you know, we definitely do need at some point to worry about the environment. Like, I don't have kids and I don't want to have kids. So once I die in about hopefully at least 40 years from now, we'll be all right, I think. Yeah. But if I had kids, you know, I would really worry about what's going to happen to them. In environment would be one of them. So I think that's something that unfortunately people don't care about. Once they do, it's probably going to be a little too late, and it's probably, well, I want to say our, well, your children will have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a 17 and 9 year old, and that topic's come up many a times of, you know, why is your, you know, I can't remember exactly who we do so many of these, which is always great, but talked about why is your car loud and it's stinky? You know, this one just vroom, it's more. And that's who we're kind of trying to talk to and educate them, you know, 17 and 9 years old. They, you know, the no replacement for displacement. I think there's something to be said about, you know, just adapting. And, you know, Jim Farley at Ford says, look, I don't care what other manufacturers are going to do. We're still going to make V8 Mustangs, but complementing that with, you know, the Mach-E, right? And then complementing that with, yeah, you got a Raptor, but they just launched Switchgear, right? With Von Kitten Jr., an all-electric F-150 Lightning that is capable like a Ford Raptor. So here you are in Bangkok, Thailand. I'm in Southern California where you used to live. And yeah, going from, I live in the Inland Empire, driving to LA, holy Tesla town. Like, they're just everywhere, right? And like, my boy is visiting me. He lives in Arizona. He has a Tesla and he's got a Ford Raptor. And it's, I mean, look at that juxtaposition, but he has two boys, right? So Bert's like, okay, what are we going to drive today? Well, I'm going to go mountain biking. I'm going to drive my Raptor. Okay, we're going out to dinner. We're going golfing. Use that frunk, throw the clubs in there. You're all good. Serving a purpose. And, you know, again, offsetting the intake, right? You work out so you can eat like crap, right? And that's kind of it, right? So I love that juxtaposition of, you know, what's your dream garage? You know, for me, I'd love to have a GT3 and a Defender 110. And if that Defender 110, like the classic body style, was EV, I think that would be sick, right? And that's kind of where we're going. And again, Bangkok, Thailand, you know, smaller density, like you said, pollution. I'm just seeing those small little EV cars like the BMW i3 or something like that, or that VinFast tiny little pocket-sized vehicle. And you're really dispelling all these myths. I guess another conversation would be, are EV cars too expensive? Because if we're trying to, as you say, get away from fossil fuels or foreign oil, if we're trying to do that, don't you think that the price point should maybe be a little more approachable as opposed to just, it's expensive?
So this is one of the problems with electric cars, right? You have to start doing math in a very different way. And you know, Americans are not very good at math or changing their ways, right? Got so it. This is kind of now we're in a pickle, because a price of a gas car, essentially what you're going to pay, and let's say you're going to pay so many hundreds of dollars per month to the bank, then you're going to pay, you know, whatever you pay to Chevron and so forth. But with an electric car, it's kind of shifted, right? You're actually going to pay a little bit more to the bank that's going to pay for the car, but much less to, well, you know, you're not going to pay anything to Chevron, but much less for the fuel, for the electricity, right? You're going to pay nothing for oil changes. You're going to pay nothing for transmission fluid flushes. You're going to pay nothing for tune-ups. So essentially, all those costs either go down significantly or they completely go away. I mean, you don't even have to pay for fuel if you have solar panels on your roof of your house. So, you know, and this is where, you know, this is one of those things where you just have to think about it differently. As a matter of fact, the way you should think about it is more realistic, where how much money this thing that's out in my garage is going to cost me, which includes, of course, insurance and fuel and maintenance, but also a monthly cost, whatever you got to pay in monthly payments. So if you look at all of that, the electric cars are really not that much more expensive than gas cars. Maybe there is a little bit, but there's really no longer significant amount. And there are very affordable electric cars out there that literally half of what the average cost of a gas car right now is. So kind of that thing, again, if you just grab a bit of a calculator or and do a little bit of math and switch the way you think, because you just have to, the electric cars are no longer that much more expensive. And in some cases, they're pretty much exactly the same. And we still have these incentives, especially from the federal government, $7,500. That lowers the price even further.
And you, I love the way you put that. And that is a topic that keeps coming up is, the access to entry to get the vehicle, but offsetting it by these other costs and this. And yeah, I mean, I you bring up a great point. The way you do it is, again, your experience. You've seen it firsthand. Looking at your Instagram, E for Electric, you were just at CES. There's manufacturers that people haven't even heard of. This Togg, they just debuted their vehicle at CES. You're looking at, obviously VinFast. Just going through here, you do such a good job, hanging out with Tom from obviously State of Charge. Just all these people. Who do you, so like you said, you're really enamored by Elon, this character. I mean, he's such a polarizing character. If it's the New York Times interview talking about, GFY, I'm not going to go hard in the paint on that one, but who's making some waves in the EV space? You talked about Volkswagen, getting rid of him and the Volkswagen sales being down. You attribute that to this and that and the other thing. Who do you think is kind of doing it the right way?
So one manufacturer that Americans don't know about and Europeans are only now getting to know, but I can look out of my window and see what the future holds here, is BYD. It's a Chinese manufacturer that back in the day when Elon Musk was being interviewed and asked about it, he literally laughed. There's a clip of him laughing at it. Now, here's why it's not so funny anymore to him is, first of all, Tesla is buying batteries from BYD now. But last quarter, BYD sold more electric cars in the world, even though they mainly sell in China and a little bit of in Europe now, than Tesla has. And Tesla obviously sells in most of the world. I can look out of my window and see what's happening. We do have more BYD cars here than Teslas. As a matter of fact, they sell more models than Tesla. BYD has 14 electric, fully electric models. Wow. To Tesla's now 5, including the Cybertruck, right? And here they have 3 versus Tesla's 2. They are just only now expanding to Europe. Now, America does have a BYD factory. I actually visited it. It's in your neck of the woods. I believe it's near San Diego. They do make electric buses in America. You will see some BYD buses. BYD is also a publicly traded company in America as well. And, I don't know if they're doing it the right way, but they are now the leaders in, electric car sales. Something that Tesla community somehow stopped talking about, right? Just only last year, it's like, yeah, Tesla is the best because they're, selling the most electric cars. And all of a sudden, that's somehow no longer the conversation. But BYD is essentially going and already has taken over. Let's talk about whether or not it's a good thing that Chinese automaker, a Chinese, which a lot of times means government-backed, a company is now ruling the world in yet another industry. Mm-hmm. You ask yourself that question. I mean, there are many different answers to that, but I'm just letting you guys know that it's coming, and a lot of, people in America don't even know.
Yeah.
Now, I do have to mention another Chinese manufacturer that I'm a huge fan of, which is NIO. It's a smaller company, but they're kind of kicking ass. They're the only company that actually solved the biggest problem that electric cars have, which is not the price, not the other stuff. It is how fast you can fully get a full tank of energy in your battery, right? It takes quite some time now. I think the best time you can get is about 20, 25 minutes. I'm talking about 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. That's an L right now for electric cars because, you know, you can gas your gas car in about 3 minutes. Now, NIO actually has a battery swap where not only you can swap a battery in 3 minutes and get a full one, but you can swap for a smaller battery or a bigger battery, right? If I'm, you know, just going to work and back and make, maybe pick up the kids and only covering 30 miles a day, I don't need a 100 kilowatt hour, you know, hour battery. That's insane. I can have a tiny little, a 10 kilowatt hour battery. But if I'm going to be going to South Lake Tahoe all of a sudden, right, or in your case, maybe to Las Vegas, then I'm going to swap it out to a bigger battery where it will get me much further. And then, of course, you have subscription where a battery is no longer sort of a part of your cost of the car. It's kind of a separate thing. So they've done that, and that's huge. And they also, they're the only company that have an actual Q doll head that's called Nomi that's sitting on your dashboard, and it's actually a true AI assistant, right? It will actually, it's got an eye, you know, two eyes, and it will talk to you, and you, it will look at you, and it will look down and look up when there's, you know, I mean, it's a real AI interaction. And it's just there. I mean, it's just awesome. Every NIO car has, and NIO now has what, 6 electric car models as well. They're good looking. They are, they have great specs and really good pricing as well. So NIO is my favorite right now, I would say.
And what a great pivot. Like you said, that's, we talked about this right on the front end, is solution. This is curing a problem, right? That's when success happens. You got a problem, you got a solution, that's success. So NIO taking that angle, that's amazing. I mean, that makes sense. So what you describe that again. So it's essentially a double A battery, triple A battery, or a D battery, right? So depending on what you're trying to charge, are you trying to fire up a house, or are you trying to start up just an RC car? That's amazing technology. And so are there, and where are these being implemented at right now, or where are they distributed?
So they're in China, and they've also started selling in and building their swapping stations in some of the countries in Europe.
Okay. So the engagement there is you have your vehicle, is battery ordered like you Grubhub did or Uber Eats, or do you still have to have that power to go there, swap it out? And how long does that take? It's literally plug and play.
3 minutes. I mean, if you roll into that station, it will take 3 minutes to swap out your battery. That's it. And now it is just as good as a gas car. And by the way, this is another thing that have you noticed that how I said that pretty much the companies that I either like or, you know, the now the leaders in electric car sales are in China. And when they are expanding, they're expanding into Europe rather than America. You know, we're once again, well, you guys are once again missing out on this new technologies or these new brands or these new varieties, because, you know, once again, you know, America is not the most friendly country for electric cars.
Right.
So, you know, something to think about it. We're once again losing.
Yeah, it's market share. And we've talked about that on how quickly the Chinese and the Asian manufacturers are just one, cranking out cars, because like you said here, Tesla's buying batteries from, either it be BYD or whomever, but this technology, it's progressing at such a great rate. And it just comes down to conditioning. It's just that whole mental shift of, like you said, doing the math of not only buying the car, but changing the way you live and engage with your vehicle and your mode of transport. And it's a broken record. And, you know, I've seen your videos talking about, you know, Tesla superchargers lines there. So not only do you, one, if you have to wait and get a decent charge, you're gonna have to wait. Two, you got to wait to just even get into the station to obviously power up and fuel up.
Sometimes. And, you know, not only that, and, you know, this is where Tesla has failed, because a lot of Tesla owners believe, and I actually agree with them, that the best part of owning a Tesla is not even the car itself, it's the supercharging network, right? The superchargers are everywhere. But at some point, Tesla started building more cars than superchargers. So there's more and more Teslas per each supercharger location and per each stall. Now, Tesla, because of the infrastructure bill that was passed a couple of years ago, well, I think it was last year, right? to get that money from that infrastructure bill, Tesla kind of has to open it up to the public because that's part of the conditions to get the money. So now Tesla is going to be opening up the superchargers to the rest of the industry, and the rest of the industry just caved and decided to adopt Tesla's much better a charging port and a charging plug, which is a huge win for the consumers. But it's also a big loss for Tesla owners that now, you know, they were barely sharing those superchargers between each other. Now they have to share it with other electric car owners, and that number is also growing. So I understand Tesla wants, you know, and this is where, you know, somebody has to be on the side of the consumers, because is this deal great for Tesla? Absolutely. As a company, they're going to get all this money from the government. They're going to build more superchargers, right? Like, everyone's now going to be using their standard for charging. As far as Tesla is concerned, if you are an investor, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you're a consumer, somehow everybody forgot that, you know, that's not a good deal for them. That's once again, because, you know, Tesla drivers, Tesla owners are going to be at a loss. And, you know, there's only so much, you know, noise I want to make about it, because a lot of Tesla owners actually root for Tesla as a multi-billion-dollar corporation. Then they root for themselves as regular consumers, right? They celebrate something that's really actually damaging them as consumers, just because they want Tesla to be, you know, the best and the strongest in the world as a car company, which, you know, just blows my mind, but it is what it is.
What is one of the most polarizing, because you've been, like you say, a ravenous Tesla fan, and you've kind of shifted, and it's always evolving, right? Just like the technology and all these talk about the AI and the Neo, that sounds awesome. But I got to ask you, you know, you have this, again, these opinions, and just going through your feed, you're like, F TikTok. What's the most polarizing video that you've gotten a lot of attention for? You know, so any news is good news, as they say. I mean, I don't believe that's always the case, but I do believe that when you have a polarizing statement and people are watching you and your engagement, what's a video that ruffled feathers?
Well, I mean, I do have, it depends in terms of what kind of feedback and how many views and stuff like that. But I would say there are, four types of videos that I've made that probably gotten the most polarizing. One is, of course, every time I call, you know, Elon Musk and Tesla out on their bullshit, which is a lot, because there's a lot of bullshit that they've been putting out. You know, obviously the whole Tesla army gathers around and tries to sort of attack me. And there's not that many people who are willing to do that. I just don't really care, you know, but they do. So that's number one, right? Obviously criticizing Tesla is you know, it's going to get you a lot of negative attention. Number two is I've criticized Volkswagen simply because I was a huge fan. I bought a Volkswagen ID.4 myself. Again, one of the first ones to have it in the United States. They were sponsors of my channels. You know, we were on very good terms. And then my car started having problems, which, you know, I understand I was the first adopter. But the fact that they, you know, the way they handled it, the fact that I've noticed that there are a lot of other people had the same problems and also been kind of abandoned. And, you know, I tried working with Volkswagen as an influencer and as a customer. And essentially I was shown, middle finger. And, you know, I kind of had to start talking about, you know, that, hey, this is not what you guys were supposed to be doing. That's not what I signed up for, promoting you and being a customer. I ended up selling it, you know, out of the lease before I, you know, moved to Thailand. So that's another one. In the other two, well, the other one was also, I have a series of videos just exposing how this industry works, where, you know, the influencers and journalists are essentially being bought by the automakers. And, you know, Volkswagen once again was in the middle of it, because I know there was one of the media drives for the ID Buzz. And, you know, I saw a lot of journalists go, and I asked them, how come, you know, my invitation got lost in the mail? And they said, oh, yeah, we're not inviting you anymore. We don't like that you criticized the ID Buzz. And I have an email. I mean, they were even stupid enough to write it in an email. So essentially, you know, and Rivian and GM and others did the same thing. They didn't like my criticism, and therefore they didn't want to invite me to the media drives anymore. And but luckily, I don't rely on those. But a vast majority of especially mainstream automotive media relies on having access to these cars, especially before they come out. And, you know, when the condition is that, yeah, go ahead and review our car, you know, in any way you want. But of course, if you don't review it the way we want you to review it, then you're just not going to be back here. And essentially, your career is going to be over. You know, I'm the only one who's able, I guess, to afford to say this and not get invited by Volkswagen, GM and so forth. So that's another set of sort of videos that I, you know, exposed. And I also talked about how, you know, this mainstream automotive media went after VinFast when they all said the opposite about the same type of problems when it came to other manufacturers in a huge sort of act of, you know, community hypocrisy on their part. So those videos obviously get some polarizing replies. And another one that I really, really pounded on, and I think one of those videos have like 500,000 views, is of Rivian, right? Rivian has turned from like the Cinderella story, everybody loves Rivian, to just fucking customers over left and right and lying and cheating. And, you know, so it's also been quite, it's been a series of video about Rivian that unfortunately, I hate, by the way, I hate doing all of this. Like I really do. I feel like I've been forced into being this kind of a little watchdog when and instead of continuing being a fan, you know, and that's very unfortunate.
Yeah. And this is exactly why we have to have you on. And to your point, you know, media, right? Free speech. You've seen Dana White, you know, get asked about Strickland and fighting. And he's like, look, there's no leashes, man. I'm going to tell people what, you know, and that's why we have to have these conversations and, you know, the evolution of vehicles and that experience. We have to start somewhere. So as this technology progresses, we need people that are in the seats that can also say, hey, this is a good thing. This is a bad thing. This is, we need to make this better. How can we make this better? Because if you just, you know, if I'm telling you that, you know, the sky is, you know, green, then and you don't look out, and if you don't experience going outside, you're just going to think the sky is green. So I think that as like I keep using the word polarizing, as polarizing as Alex Guberman is and E for Electric, I think it's just education, you know, and that's what it comes down to. And it's sometimes misinformation of, okay, let's be honest. It says 500 mile range, but when you get in there and you start mashing and that range goes down real quick, you're like, oh man, like this isn't what I signed up for. So those skeptics, you know, can sometimes be proved right or wrong, just given the particular vehicle. And I like your perspective. How did you get your start? Is this literally just a pat? I know you talked about, you know, 2012 buying that Tesla, engaging and informing. Is this just all self-taught, or do you have like a journalistic background?
Oh no, I have no journalistic background whatsoever. I, you know, honestly, the way it started was because, like I said, when I bought my first Tesla, everybody thought I was an idiot, right? And when I bought even Tesla stock, I was an idiot. So I just wanted to. I was really on Facebook a lot. I just loved Facebook at that time, and so I created a Facebook group for other, you know, idiots to get together and drive our idiot cars, you know, and enjoy our idiot time. And talk about all that stuff. But, you know, apparently, you know, they were all wrong. Apparently, I was onto something, and there were more and more idiots joining the group. And at some point, when it reached like 10,000 or so, and Tesla started getting very interesting, I realized that, you know, I kind of was falling behind on so many cool things that were coming out of Tesla. And I decided to basically launch a 60 seconds per week news segment where I would get updated myself on what's going on, and that way it forced me to be up to date on what's going on, and just, you know, update my audience. So I created a YouTube channel for my Facebook group to update my Facebook group of Tesla owners. Now Tesla ended up screwing me over at the first chance they got. And that kind of gave me a first wake-up call of what this industry is all about. And at that time, I realized, like, oh man, I just don't want to rely on this brand that's actually fucking over one of their biggest fans. You know, let me expand and involve other electric cars, and because they were coming out and becoming somewhat interesting. And that's just, you know, and then it grew and it grew. And I quit my job at some point and was able to make a living, which I still cannot believe, you know, a dude in his 40s as a YouTuber, you know, but it's a reality, I guess.
And two questions, you know, living in Thailand, condensed area, beautiful part of the country when the weather is obviously great, but amazing food, great people. Let's maybe pivot here as far as other mobility, you know, bicycles, one wheels. I mean, there's so many other things in, like I said, that solution. What other solutions are you looking at, Alex? Like, given where you live, what you need and what task you need to accomplish, what other mobility are you looking at?
So obviously the traffic is everywhere. I mean, the Bangkok is no different than other really big city, and the public transportation here is huge. And I don't mean in so much buses, but it's like subways and SkyTrain that we have here. And that's actually quite developed and really, really good. Now, what we have here that is not really big in the US is a million motorbikes and scooters that are all over the place. And this is where, you know, this is where it's kind of a tough call, you know, because of course you want to convert them to all electric. However, there are a couple of problems. One, you know, electric motors have a lot of, you know, torque. And do we want people, you know, riding with their kids and just, you know, just have so much power because it's really not that hard to get in an accident on a motorbike. But most importantly, you know, motorbikes do rely on the sound to stay safe, right? You know, you're in the blind spot a lot, you're coming out much faster. You don't want the car making, people are pretty bad at driving everywhere. But you don't want a car obviously switching lanes and smashing you into the bus, and you rely on that sound. You know, electric motorbikes are silent, and that kind of removes a major safety issue. And honestly, I don't know if there's a good solution there besides, of course, self-driving cars. So I think the technology that I'm looking forward to in this case is literally self-driving cars, because that's where, you know, there will be less accidents. That's going to be where it's much safer to ride a motorbike. And, you know, flying cars are really not that much for, like, they're coming also.
Right.
Right. They are coming. And, you know, here in Bangkok, we have a ridiculous number of skyscrapers and a very, very tall building. So, you know, for me, like, for example, you know, my building has about 42 floors. And I live on a lower floor of, I live on a 20th floor, but, you know, I can come up to my rooftop, get in little flying car VTOLs, they're called, and then just hop onto the mall's rooftop. That's literally about 1 minute away, and then come down and get into the mall. You know, that's going to be reality, because that's really not that hard to do in terms of just autonomous flying. You have to understand, autonomous flying is much easier than autonomous driving, right? There are no kids that are going to be crossing the street running after a soccer ball. There will be no trees falling in front of you. There will be no motorbikes and a lot of other things you have to deal with on the ground where you don't have to deal with in a sky. So autonomous flying might just come ahead of autonomous driving. So that's coming as well. I'm looking forward to that.
That's crazy. And like you said, you saw that at CES. I had my buddy Zach. I know he rode in one. I don't know if Matt Farrow is out there, but it's insane technology, and it's here. You have to start somewhere. You put up a video on your, again, I was going through your IG, and speaking of autonomous cars driving in Texas, that like, what was that, man? So if anybody, again, looks at E for Electric, there's a video of autonomous cars clogging an artery of a road, and you kind of are like, oh, well, now you got to wait 45 minutes to get your barbecue, but 10 minutes, you know, it was funny. Mm-hmm. But what was that? What was that story?
Well, so, you know, there is a GM owned company called Cruise, and they are much like Google's Waymo. They're basically trying to map everything out and have, you know, geo zones and geofencing and kind of do it in a quite a dumb way. But at the same time, I do understand that you do want to rely on in a virtual infrastructure almost. And they're actually having quite an interesting progress. I mean, you do see, like in San Francisco and in Austin, you do see these cars driving around with no people in behind the wheels, and they are Ubers essentially. They're, you know, that's, it's insane that they're doing it. But at the same time, as bugs happen, right? Just tiny little bug, all of a sudden, you know, all these cars are not able to go. They just I guess, and at one point they just all jam this one little street and cause a chaos. Now, is it a big deal? It's not a big deal. Is it going to make the news because it's kind of funny, entertaining, and obviously kind of exposes the, you know, pains of the new technology? Yes. It was just a funny story. I honestly think that it doesn't make the technology any better or worse. You know, it shouldn't make it any better or worse in the eyes of consumers. But, you know, these are growing pains. These are the growing pains. And sometimes it's embarrassing, you know?
Yeah.
That's like me learning Thai. You know, it's a new thing for me. I'm learning Thai and I embarrass myself all the time by my horrible, horrible Thai.
You know what? I bet your Thai is better than my Thai. So that's good. Anything else you kind of want to talk about? Again, this is you as a journalist, and you said, wow, look at me, 40 years old, YouTuber, your perspective, your angle, what you've experienced, good, bad, and indifferent. Is there anything else that, you know, again, that you'd like to wrap out about?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a few things, of course. As an old fart, I always like the good old days better than what's happening now. Obviously, the fact that we are, again, sorry, you guys are as polarized on everything. I mean, I've lived in America for 30 years, and I don't remember people, you know, being this polarized on politics. But now everybody needs to be an extreme on something and then have an enemy on the other side, right? There's got to be, you know, Biden camp and Trump camp. You know, and that's already very unfortunate. But, you know, and I'm a dependent, so there's like five of us hanging out in between two fires. But now we're also the same with electric cars. You know, it's got to be Tesla or you know, and Elon Musk and, you know, Ford. And, you know, it's insane. We're supposed to be on the same page here. We want the technology. We want the consumers to benefit. We want the environment to benefit, you know. And yet we're once again polarized. You can't say anything anymore without people jumping down your throat, regardless what it is that you're saying. We're just talking about electric cars, you know, like, I think that's unfortunate. I think what social media turned into lately is also very unfortunate because, like I said, there are a lot of people who are sold out. Like, I mean, they're just paid. I know YouTubers who I used to really respect. And now when I hang out with them and I ask them, hey, are you going to cover that? They're like, I ain't covering that unless I'm getting paid, right? They literally only will make videos if someone's paying them to make videos. And that's unfortunate. There is just really not much passion, you know, and the word influencer even now is more of a negative one than a positive one. So, you know, those in at the end of the day, I really am disappointed in the automotive industry because, you know, Tesla was innovating in the beginning and I thought, oh my God, this is so great. You know, now that Tesla's kicking everyone's ass, you know, they will realize like, okay, we got to innovate ourselves. We got to catch Tesla and maybe pass that. And, you know, what happened as a result of that is quite disappointing. Everyone's just lazily following Tesla. And Tesla is kind of also done innovating because they're now a pretty big company. They're a publicly traded company and they got to deliver and deliver and deliver. So obviously innovation is not a priority. And I totally understand. I don't blame them for that. So I really wish there will be a new generation of hopefully automotive executive and consumers demanding something more exciting from these car companies. You know, we can actually be excited. I mean, like, you know, it sucks that you just ask me, an electric car, you know, fan and a YouTuber, what I'm excited about. And I basically told you nothing, you know, nothing. I'm just here sitting waiting for the bus, right? That sucks, man, because like, I really wish, you know, we could be, you know, a few years back and change where we were going with the direction, right? I wish everybody who likes electric cars would like all electric cars and Teslas and Rivians and Fords and everything. And there is no, you know, us and them. I wish, you know, social media was still about, you know, honest opinions from little guys like me rather than, you know, the little guys being sold out to the bigger guys, which is the reasonable point of a little guy anymore. I wish the technology would actually not stall like that it has. I mean, electric cars have so much more potential. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, self-driving and AI and flying cars, all of that is because this is an electric technology, you know, and they haven't done much with it. Like, let me just give you a quick example that I saw. One of the few exciting things, like, you know, with AI, you can actually have like Togg, right? And again, they're one of my sponsors, full disclosure, but, you know, I've just discovered that Togg has AI radio. So you might say, listen, I'm going to go ahead and just by looking at you say heavy metal, right? For example, you know, and play some heavy metal for me. And this, you know, AI technology will generate, you know, a song that you've never heard before and never will hear again, right? In your car and as you're driving down the highway. That's something really cool, you know, and they're getting pretty good at this, you know, AI stuff. You know, every car should have an AI radio so you can hear the songs you will never hear again. Like develop that thing. I mean, it's not that hard, you know. Stop developing fart apps, stop fighting, you know, between each other, stop sending stupid tweets at other CEOs and stuff like that. Do something useful for us, the consumers. And AI radio is actually kind of cool, you know, do more of that stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like the creature comforts. And you know, I would have to gather in my assessment of your journey here, getting that Tesla and it just hasn't progressed enough for you and your creature comforts, as you say, you're 40 years old, no, you know, full disclosure, they're 40 something. And here you are and your creature comforts just want to fit you. Right. And that's going back to where it's at. Hopefully they surprise us. I think that's the biggest thing is Alex, like maybe there is something that, man, I haven't seen that. That's amazing. Like I have not engaged with the Neo AI assist, but you know, OnStar back in the day was revolutionary. Oh my gosh, you're in an accident. You hit the button. Oh, I'm hurt, you know, or I'm having a heart attack. Or that was technology that we didn't know we needed till we needed it. I mean, I've never used it because, you know, knock on wood, haven't been in a terrible accident like that. But you know, you had that video of Elon wanting access to cameras in the cars and stuff like that. It's conversation. It's here. I'm excited about it. I'm, you know, what does BYD stand for? Build your dreams. What a beautiful kind of, you know, it sounds like a Chinese automotive manufacturer. It kind of has some interesting names, but I didn't know what BYD stood for. But then he went around the back of that auto or the seal, the front end looks like a Porsche.
Yeah.
And it's just build your dreams on the back. It sounds like a bumper sticker, but it's a full automotive manufacturer that has more models than anybody. And this is news to people. Some people listen to this and be like, wow, this guy's, you know, passionate about it. And you've been scorned, you know, you've been wronged, what you've described to me. And that's your experience. And some people could be like, man, I've had nothing but good times. You know, like my wife did have a Volkswagen Atlas and the infotainment system would always glitch. It's like, oh, now she has a BMW X6. And like, you know, look at hybrid technology, look at diesel technology, you know, and now we're going into hydrogen, you know? So the journey still continues, man.
We're not going into hydrogen, though. Like, I'm sorry to tell you, we're not going into hydrogen.
H for hydrogen.
Yeah, just that's unfortunately that's not happening. It's actually better technology in many different ways, except for delivering it to your car, essentially. But you know, that ship has actually sailed. Maybe some uses for the industrial, you know, vehicles, maybe. But even most of them have already gone the electric way, the battery powered way. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's not a bad direction. I'm just saying that that technology is kind of dead now, and it's just not going to happen. But, you know, which is fine. You know, like one of them had to win, and it was a battery powered technology that is still being developed. I mean, the batteries are going to be very different in 5 years than they are now, actually, right? Especially with solid state batteries that are developing. There's still some improvement to be made. And, you know, like one more thing that I actually remember that, you know, the small things that these companies could have been doing, and some of them that have done this, right? So the Mercedes, and I think VinFast is working on this. You know, when you get into the car for the first time, and this would be great for like rental cars, you know, they have a camera on you already, right? You know, like Tesla has one, and many of them have one, just to watch to see if your eyes are on the road when you're driving with a self-driving mode on. They know where your head is. They know where your eyes are. They know where the side mirrors are. Why do I have to fucking adjust the side mirrors when I get into the car when they can do it for me very easily? Mercedes does that. You literally just turn your head to the side mirror and we'll adjust it for you. That's something that needs to happen in every single car, right? This is a safety issue. That's something people are not very good at, by the way. I think most people don't even know which angle they should have their side mirrors at. And this technology will improve so many things for people, especially when you get into a rental car, which a lot of people do every day. And the rental car is the most likely to get into an accident, right? And we can prevent so many things, bad things from happening. And yet, no, we're still doing things that don't really matter versus something that really would have helped.
Well, Alex, I think you have a great perspective, meaning just your journey. And you know, do I agree with everything you say? No, but it's for the sake of conversation. I think it's you need to have somebody that, such as yourself, is, for lack of a better term, challenging the industry and getting those perspectives, because if we're all just in agreement, we're all just lemmings just walking off the cliff, right? And I think that with your assistance, you know, maybe there's an exec listening to this and says, you know what, hey, I'd like to bring in Alex for a focus group. And it's going to be harsh, but just like any life is about relationships. If it's me and my wife, me and my kids, me and my friends, you and I, you know, different degrees of relationships, right? The automotive.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, sorry, and people don't have to agree with me, right? I'm not right. Really here to convince anybody. Of course, I would love people to see the world my way, right? But we all do. I'm here to give a different perspective, and I feel like I wish there were more people like me, not so much with my opinions, but with different opinions. Because if you go online right now, all you see is that Tesla is great, Elon Musk is great, and you know, there is nobody saying, "Hey, but you know, there's one thing that's not that great," and you know, and that's okay. Nobody's perfect, so people don't have to agree with me. But I think having a different opinion, and you know, and I think this is one of many issues that I think we have, again, you guys have in the US, is that people are just not willing to listen to other people's opinion when they don't agree with them. Because you don't have to agree with other people's opinions. You just have to understand there's a different perspective. And that's all. That's the whole education you need, you know, when you listen to other people's opinions. But everyone's in their fucking echo chamber, and no one ever gets out of that, right? If you're into Tesla, the social media will make sure that you will think that it's the best and you will never hear any criticism, right? If you're into Trump, the social media will make sure that you only hear great things about Trump and never hear criticism, and on and on and on and on. And voices like mine that are just saying, hey, guys, just so you know, there's pros and cons, and I think you should know about the cons. You don't have to, you know, take, you know, but they are there. And I just want to say you should consider it, because I'm just trying to serve your needs as a consumer. And the best way to do it is to give you all of the information, and then you do your thing. You decide. You want to make bad decisions for yourself, that's fine. Want to make good decisions, that's great. But I want to participate in bringing that information to you. That's all.
That's good. And that's why we're here. And that's why we tapped you. That's why, hey, Alex Grubman. So last question. Do you still own Tesla stock?
Oh, no. I sold my Tesla stock as soon as I realized that I'm becoming an influencer and it's essentially unethical. Now, I wish that most of the Tesla YouTubers and reporters would do the same thing. They pretty much all own stock. But I realized that it's not, I have journalistic integrity is I think the most important
interest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And anytime I take money from car manufacturers to make videos about them, it is front and center. You know, I absolutely disclose it in every single possible way I can. So people do know that, hey, Alex took money from this car manufacturer to make this video. So keep that in mind.
Right. Right. Well, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for your perspective. Thank you for your honesty and transparency. And yeah, man, just keep banging away. E for electric, Alex. Thank you so much, Alex Guberman.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for listening to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.